Lecture 29, Control and Revolt.
In this lecture, we will see Assyria firmly control an enormous region, from Mesopotamia to Egypt, in the 8th and 7th centuries BC. Kings are largely successful as commanders and as sponsors of projects that displayed their empire throughout this territory. But certain trouble spots, especially in Babylonia, reveal weaknesses that contributed to the unexpected collapse of Assyria in the late 7th century BC. The long-standing practice of attempted conciliation with Babylonia ceased when Sennacherib, the successor of Sargon II, sacked, burned, and flooded the city of Babylon in 689. The Babylonians would take their revenge when they joined with a new power in Iran, the Medes, to attack Assyria and destroy its capital at Nineveh in 612 BC. Sargon had left a strong, disciplined army and a well-organized administration for his son and successor, Sennacherib, who ruled from 704 to 681 BC. But Sargon had also died in battle, which was the worst possible omen for a king. His body was not given proper burial, and this meant that his capital, the newly constructed Dur Sharrukin, was abandoned. Sennacherib relocated the Assyrian capital to Nineveh, launching another building program to bring that city up to date. In Syria-Palestine, the small states that Sargon had conquered began to revolt. Sennacherib was successful in putting these revolts down. He captured cities in Judah, Lachish, which we saw last time illustrated on the walls of his palace, and Jerusalem, which is reported in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles of the Old Testament. This settled the revolts in the area for a while. But Babylonia required almost constant attention from Assyrian rulers in order to establish some security on their southern border. We've talked about the creative methods to rule that were applied in Babylonia. Sometimes direct rule. Remember, Sargon had named himself to the throne of Babylon, and he'd actually lived in Babylonia for 3 years. Sometimes a supposedly loyal ruler was installed. This seems to have rarely worked, whether the ruler was Assyrian or Babylonian or someone else that the king was certain this time he could trust. None of these policies proved to be effective in controlling Babylonia. And we should be considering why the Assyrians were so concerned to settle this area. The main attraction, in addition to its proximity to Assyria, was what had drawn people to the region originally, the fertile agricultural lands. And now, especially since the camel permitted regular desert trade, southern Mesopotamia was essential to connect the West with Iranian trade routes. Since the Assyrian kings were building so many cities, one reason that they were so focused on Babylonia to produce agriculture was to feed these populations. Assyria was moving to a more urban lifestyle, and as the cities were getting larger and larger, they had to import the food in order to feed this population. And so steady access, especially of trade routes and agriculture, was essential to maintaining the new cities in Assyria. Shortly after Sennacherib became king, Marduk-apla-iddina II, who had caused Sargon II so much trouble, declared himself king in Babylon. This was a short revolt. Sennacherib forced Marduk-apla-iddina to take refuge in the marshes of the Sealand. And we see on Sennacherib's palace these different rebels, not the king himself, but rebels in the Sealand peeking out through the marshes and the reeds there. I told you that Sennacherib was very interested in the natural environment and depicting this in his palace. So this is one of those scenes that's especially evocative.